episode 6 of The Dining Room Table. This is Matt Sharp from Sharp Property Buyers. Matt, great to see you again. Episode 5 was a cracker, and thanks to everyone for having a listen to it. What are we doing on episode 6?
Yeah, awesome, mate. Thanks so much for having me back again. All right, so we've identified the location. Now we want to try and identify what type of property are we going to buy within that location.
I'm not having you back. You're having me back. Like, you're Batman, I'm Robin.
I love Batman.
I can't wait for this because in my early days in radio, like, I wanted to be a programmer as well as a broadcaster. And so you try to study what type of listener you're going to attract, what demographic you're going after. So we did a lot of deep dives. We'd look at census information so you could see what kind of population you had. So here on the Central Coast, for instance, we know we've got an aging population on the peninsula, but now it would be a lot different in 2022. Like, there's been an influx of people come up looking for their first home. So it'd be interesting as to what demographic you target in radio. But what about the property market? I mean, it's pretty much everything from teenagers to, you know, 80 plus.
Yeah, exactly. And mate, I think it's critical when you've identified the location to then understand what the demand is like for the types of properties within that location. So what do I mean? So anything from a one bedroom unit all the way up to a six bedroom home with three cars, three baths, all that sort of stuff. So what does the demographic in that location want? And I'm talking about, what do they want in the rental market? So where is there most of the rental demand? But also, and more importantly, what about in the owner-occupier space? Because at the end of the day, you're going to be looking to sell that property down the line, and then we want to find out and hope that there's obviously going to be some strong demand for that property when you go to sell.
Yeah, okay. So what about some of the areas you've spoken about on this show, and tell us about the demographics of those areas?
Okay. So look, I will say in most cases, 99% of the time, we're buying freestanding homes in high-performing regional locations. Okay. Now, when we're buying freestanding homes, we're naturally targeting families to then rent those properties. And the reason why we like families is because typically, you know, they're set to stay in the rental for a longer period of time than, for example, a young professional or a boarding style house, which gives us some further confidence and some long-term confidence that they're going to be renting that property for some time. The other reason why we really like to target families as well is typically you have two sets of incomes as well. So in most cases you have, you know, the husband or the dad that's working, and then also potentially the mum that's working as well.
You said on the last episode about not putting all the eggs in one basket. So are you dabbling in other types of investments as well?
Yes, of course. But I guess at early on, it's really critical that you get the foundations right. And I think the foundations for any high-performing property investment portfolio is to make sure that you have, you know, those freestanding homes in place first, and then you can look to dabble into some of the other asset classes.
Okay, so if we're talking demographics, for the freestanding home, is the demographic 25-54? Perhaps?
Yeah, probably even a bit younger. So I'd say like mid-30s to mid-40s is the sweet spot that we would sort of target. And typically within that, I guess that demographic, most people are wanting a freestanding home. You know, they want a nice level backyard, 3 to 4 beds, preferably 2 bathrooms. You need garage accommodation as well. So generally speaking, that sort of age group, you know, with a partner and potentially with some kids, that's the type of property that they're seeking.
What else can you tell us about demographics? So before we came on the air, I was taking a look at Bernard Salt, who is regarded as the best in the business in Australia. You'll often see him on all forms of media talking about demographics in an area. Mm. Tell us more.
What's interesting on the back of COVID is that people are now have flexible working conditions, you know, the population shifting a little bit. We can see that the regions are starting to be a really, really attractive proposition for people, especially if you're in the housing market and you're looking for affordability or you're looking for a slightly different lifestyle. But we're definitely starting to see some flexible working conditions. So what that means in the property space is potentially someone's going to be working from home. So is there an additional room where someone can have a home office, or is there a studio or a garage that can be converted as well? And in most cases, people are prepared to pay a slightly more of a premium rent for a property like that if they're in the market, if they had those needs.
Okay, so you may never have considered purchasing outside of a large city. But if you follow Bernard Salt and his demographics and a lot of his videos, he's saying that the post-COVID buyer is a lot different than what we've seen before. And that means, you touched on regional areas, That means that suddenly there could be an influx of people leaving cities and going to smaller areas.
Well, there is. Yeah, there is. The data supports that as well. And I think the best metaphor I heard was the Australian property market in the past used to be like a fried egg. So you'd have the yolk in the middle and then the egg white around the outside, highly concentrated into the centre of CBDs, if you like. But post-COVID and during COVID, that egg's now become scrambled, where it's much more consistent throughout, the entirety of the market, or the egg, if you like.
You spoke about the four pillars on episode 5. So this is just being armed with more and more research when you start to dive into demographics.
Yeah, it's critical. You know, we spoke about how important it is researching and not jumping online when you're looking to buy an investment property. But I guess this is now moving into the phase where we're moving from looking at data, and then we're correlating that with, okay, what properties are here on realestate.com. So does a particular area only have 3-bedroom townhouses, for example, or does the area have mostly 4-bedroom freestanding homes, 2-bath, 2-car.
Okay, so let's look at where we live for an example. Say you were going to buy on the peninsula, and I'm just plucking figures from maybe what it looked like back 20 years ago. Let's say the majority of the peninsula is 55 plus. That really dictates what kind of property you're going to buy. You might not want to have a 2-story townhouse, because there's a fair chance that the elderly demographic won't want stairs.
Mm, yeah, mate, it's a good point. And you might have just touched on something by accident here. I'll give you two answers to this. So any approved location that we're buying in for our clients and for us personally, we want the median age demographic to be 40 or below. Now, the reason why we want it to be 40 or below is because in most cases, if you're at 40, typically you have deep interest into the community. You're likely to stay there for a long time. Maybe you've got kids at school, kids at high school, and you're not going to leave, which then plays on that sort of, supply and demand component. You also touched on the 2-story home. So whenever you're looking for an investment property, it's critical that you're going to appeal to the majority of the market. So the majority of the market and what that demographic needs. Now, we would typically buy something that's a level block, single story. And the reason why we do that is because whether you're able, disabled, 21, 101, you can access that property, and that property is obviously going to be able to be a fit for you, in terms of buying or if you're renting it.
We're talking about an older demographic. What about if you're buying somewhere around a university, for instance, and so your demographic might be like 18 to 29? Mm. Tell me more.
Yeah. So this is where you can start to play with those different types of assets, right? And when I say assets, I mean types of properties. So you can start to dabble in a 2-bedroom villa or maybe a 3-bedroom townhouse, because naturally people at the university are going to need some accommodation, but they can't afford the freestanding home. Maybe have professors or teachers or workers within that university that just need accommodation close by for a shorter period of time. So that's when you can absolutely start to dabble in that space. But don't discount buying a freestanding home if you can afford it close to a university, because it's likely going to outperform the property that's within the strata, so a 2-bedroom unit or a 3-bedroom townhouse.
Yeah, well, just up the road from us, like I know in Newcastle, there's people that have bought homes that can accommodate, 6 or 7 students. And so they just maximize their income.
Mm, they do. And look, again, that's probably starting to move into a different space and a space that I'd refer to as maybe higher risk. I think that you're better served to be capturing the majority of the market, the average mum and dad on a good income, good salary, that are likely to stay at the property for a long time, than going to chase that sort of boarding style setup.
Yeah. And you said a moment ago about swimming pools and things like that. I'm assuming that you'll be against buying an investment with a pool, more maintenance?
Yeah, mate, good question. So again, it just comes down to the research and what the demographic wants within that area. So look, 90% of the time we don't buy with pools, and the reason is because of maintenance, obviously the upkeep and the expenses there, but also being on top of whether the pool is compliant or non-compliant. If something catastrophic was to happen, it's not something that you really want to have to worry about. However, in the research that we've done in certain markets across Australia, Townsville being one of them, people are prepared to pay up to $100 extra per week to have a pool. So when you start to factor that in and you factor the costs, it starts to make a little bit more sense that you would you know, you'd look to buy an investment property with a pool based on those numbers.
Yeah, and I really loved episode 5. So can you just recap what the four pillars are? Because, you know, before we even start diving into demographics, we've got to look at the four pillars and see if the area we're considering ticks all of those boxes.
Yeah, exactly. So the four pillars are strong economy, which we touched on, private and government spending, a low supply and a high demand. So low supply of properties available and a high demand of people wanting to be in that area. And the last one, livability and likability for the location.
Yeah. Have you bought in any areas for your investment portfolio or someone else's where in terms of demographics, it kind of bucks the trend? Maybe it's all one age group, one demographic lives there.
Look, not really, because we're really risk averse when we're buying. We really do try and eliminate and minimize any sort of curveballs that we're going to get. I will say though, and this Townsville market's come up a couple of times because it is unique, but it has an incredibly low median age for a demographic. I think it's at 32, right? It's probably probably the lowest sort of in the country. But it's an interesting market, and you'd expect in Townsville that a lot of young people move there, whether they're going to university, they're studying, or maybe in the military. But it's almost like a conveyor belt. They might be there from the ages of 20 to 25 and then move, but then more people come in, especially with the military base and the upgrades that are happening there. So I would say that particular area kind of bucks the trend.
Yeah, give me one more example that you bought for your mum, this property just up the road from here. Tell me about the demographics of that area, or does it not even matter who's there because it's such a rare property that you bought?
Yeah, well, something like this, yeah, we're not really considering the demographics for that area. It's more a scarcity play. So it was one of 16 highly heritage listed properties across the road from the beach. Can't be outbuilt, you know, views of the ocean. So that's just highly focused on scarcity. Whereas when we're looking at an investment property, you know, we're considering a whole bunch of factors. Scarcity is one of them, yeah, but also the demographics and likability as well.
Yeah, and that one was also, I mean, it is an investment, but it's going to be owner-occupied. So it's a little different to what you're advising people on.
Yeah, it is different because it's heavily emotional. But when you're looking at an investment property, and this is where the likability and livability comes in, the last sort of box that you need to tick is, you know, there needs to be an emotional play there, because ultimately you want people to be paying, you know, a premium for the rent because they need to be in that area. So why do they need to be there? Because they want to be close to the beach, they want to be close to a school, or do they need, you know, close to the job? And then when you go to on-sell the property, that same emotion is triggered where they're prepared to pay a premium again because they want to be in that school catchment, they want to be close to the beach, or they want to have that great facade, or they want to have that big block within that great suburb.
Okay, so if we're playing euchre, what wins? Likeability, livability, and scarcity versus demographics.
Likeability, livability, and scarcity every day of the week.
Yeah, well, I think that's a wrap. Corey, my son, he spent some time with his girlfriend B traveling through Europe. They actually went to Wimbledon, but they also went to Italy. And I'm not sure if you can smell that on the dining room table, but Corey, he did a lesson in cooking pasta.
Oh, unbelievable. My favorite. What have we got there?
Oh, gee, that's smelling good. Corey's fettuccine boscaiola is waiting for us.
Very good.
We'll wash it down with some red wine, I reckon. And again, we encourage responsible drinking on the dining room table. Sharpie, before we go, what would be on episode 7?
Look, we're going to talk about comparables. So you've found the property that you like. Obviously, it's aligned with a good location and you understand the demographics and you found the property. Now we want to work out how you can come up with a price and a true market value for that property. So we're really starting to drill down now on the purchase.
And if our listeners want any more information about what you offer, where do they go to?
Look, they can catch us on any of the socials, also our website, sharpproperty.com.au.
Okay, fantastic. That is episode 6 of The Dining Room Table. We'll catch you again soon.